Welcome to The Word at First Press Church of Arlington Heights. The sermon is based on Scripture to help us see how God was at work in the lives of the faithful in their time and how God is at work now in our lives on our journey of faith. I invite you to listen for how God's Word might be speaking to you today.
Our first Scripture reading comes from Psalm 37. Verses 1 through 11, and then 39 through 40. Hear God's word to us on this morning. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from against anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. For the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their refuge in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, beginning with the 27th verse of the 6th chapter. Let us continue listening for God's voice speaking to us. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. Instead, love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I think we know a lot of these words spoken by Jesus in this passage by heart. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Do to others as you would have them do to you. These words are familiar. We teach them to our children. They are quoted in books, printed on posters and spoken in times of conflict. But hearing them is one thing, living them is another. It is one of the hardest things Jesus asks of us, to respond to harm with love, to meet hatred with kindness, to show mercy when vengeance feels justified. So what does it actually mean to love our enemies? What does it mean to live out this teaching, not just in words, but with our very lives? Psalm 37 helps us to begin to answer this question. It begins with these words: "Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like grass and wither like the green herb." Three times in this psalm, we hear the phrase, "Do not fret," and then we heard it echoed in the powerful anthem sung by our choir. In Hebrew, the word translated as fret does not simply mean to worry. It means to burn with anger, to let resentment consume us. How often do we do this? How often do we hold on to the wrongs done to us? How often do we replay the conversation, the betrayal, the injustice, letting it take up space in our hearts? The psalmist is not telling us to ignore wrongdoing or pretend harm does not exist. Instead, he is showing us that when we let bitterness define us, we are the ones who suffer. And Jesus takes this a step further. He does not just say, "Let go of anger." He says, "Love your enemies." He does not just say, "Do not retaliate." He says, "Bless those who curse you." He does not just say, "Move on." He says, "Do good to those who hate you." On Thursday, I attended the newly reformed Arlington Heights Ministerial Association monthly lunch. The main focus in this rebuilding period is to connect, deepen relationships, and to spend time with the scripture passage and in prayer together. This week, the Luke passage was our scripture. And the first question was, what in this passage do you find challenging? That question made me pause and reflect. Then I found myself saying to my small group, "Everything about this passage is challenging for me." I shared that for many years of my life, this passage and others like it led me to stay in friendships and relationships that were harmful, because I took it to mean that if I had to forgive, I also had to stay. I also shared about a time in my young adulthood when I was in a different kind of church, when I heard this passage quoted to encourage someone in an abusive relationship to stay because she was called to turn the other cheek. It took me a long time, personally, to get to a better place with God and myself, to know that forgiveness does not mean permission. And praying for those who hurt me, you, anyone, does not mean allowing that hurt to continue. But I still wrestle with this passage, and I suspect I am not alone in that. One of the pastors at my table wondered if perhaps Jesus was talking more about larger global situations rather than interpersonal relationships. That made me think of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose quote is on the bulletin cover. His life's work was both about not accepting systems of harm and injustice while also choosing the path of nonviolence. The quote on our cover is, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Dr. King did not say this lightly. He did not say it from a place of comfort or safety. He said it as a man who faced constant threats, who had been jailed, whose house had been bombed. He said it as someone who had every reason to retaliate, but instead chose the way of Christ's love. On January 30th, 1956, during the Montgomery bus boycott, Dr. King's home was bombed while he was speaking at a nearby church. His wife, Coretta, and their infant daughter were inside, but unharmed. When Dr. King returned home, he found an angry crowd of supporters gathered, many armed and ready to retaliate on his behalf. Standing on his front porch, he urged them to put down their weapons and embrace love instead of vengeance. He said, "Do not do anything panicky. Don't get your weapons. If you have weapons, take them home. He who lives by the sword will perish by the sword. We are not advocating violence. We want to love our enemies." In that moment, he modeled a choice, not to ignore the reality of violence, but to stand firm in his conviction that love was the greater force. A choice to trust that love could do what hatred never could. A choice to walk the road of Jesus, even when it led through suffering. I have learned that this call to meet hate with love is not just a theoretical idea or something in history. It is something people I know have lived. There were members of my church where I grew up in Cincinnati. In my eye, they were probably around my parents' age, maybe a little older, but that's the kid's perspective when every adult is basically another parent. So I'm not really sure. But I learned only in recent years that when they were new to the neighborhood, they had trouble buying a house. The realtor did everything to persuade them not to buy, but eventually they were able. And sometime in the first year that they were there, the Ku Klux Klan, which was quite active in Cincinnati in the 1960s and 70s, burned a cross on their front lawn, a common method of intimidation to try and keep African Americans from living in areas that at that time had largely white neighborhoods. Fortunately, for all of us, this couple stayed. They raised their family in that house, in our neighborhood, and they were part of the membership of my church. Where strength was found in Jesus' teaching to meet hate with love. They did not ignore the harm done to them, but they refused to let hate define them. Jesus gives us a striking image at the end of the Luke passage. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. At first, this sounds like a promise of abundance, and in some ways it is. But Jesus is not talking about material blessings. He is talking about the shape of our hearts, the way we live, the way we love, the way we practice mercy and justice. These things shape us. I have learned that choosing love is not a one-time decision. It is a practice. It is a daily movement toward God's mercy, a daily opening of our hearts to the possibility of transformation. It is the work of faith, and it is the calling we proclaim each Sunday in our church motto, and 9 a.m. didn't quite remember it, so I'm counting on you. Choose love so we can be the light that changes the world. Love does not erase pain, but it keeps pain from defining us. Love does not ignore injustice, but it refuses to answer injustice with more harm. Love does not make life easier, but it does make life deeper, richer, and more aligned with God's dream for the world. So we continue on this journey, First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, choosing love, trusting that the light of God's mercy is already at work within us to help change us and the world. In the name of our Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about the ministries and mission of First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, Illinois, please visit firstpresah.org, where you can get information about our services and programs, including times and directions, and communicate with us about a prayer request, any questions you have, or how you might like to get involved.